Hi, I'm Kirk Evans, and welcome back to part 4 of our SharePoint for Developer series. In this session, we'll focus on calling SharePoint's web services using a Silverlight client. So we'll start out by creating a list. I'll go to the Create and choose a link as the template type, and we'll create a list called SharePoint Sites. There we go. Enter in a couple of items here. First one is the SharePoint developer site on MSDN. And add a new one. This one will be to mssharepointdeveloper.com. There we go. Entered that in. Now what we want to do is see how we can use the web services. Underscore VTI underscore bin lists.asmx is the list web service. And we see that it exposes a number of different things: get list collection, get list items. We look at get list items. We see that it takes parameters here like query, view field, query options. So we'll need to provide those. Let's create a new Silverlight application so we can consume that web service and get the data out of the list we just created. Create a new Silverlight application. And first thing I want to do is to add a service reference. And we'll add in the same exact underscore VTI underscore bin slash lists dot asmx. Call the proxy the SharePoint list service. There we go. That creates the service reference for us. And now we can start to create the UI that we'll use to display the data. So inside our user control here, inside the layout root, which is grid, we'll create a list box. A list box, I'll just give it a name, my list. And instead of hard coding any items in here, instead we want it to be data driven. So we'll use this item source, the item template. And inside the item template, we specify data template. And then we can provide a text block that its text will be whatever we use for the binding for the data source. So that's how we have a data-driven list box in Silverlight. So now that we have a list box, let's provide some data to it. First thing we'll do is we'll reference our SharePoint list service we just created a moment ago and use the list soap client class, and we'll call our instance proxy. And now we'll call proxy dot, I want to clean this up. I'm just a little anal retentive like this. So instead of using the fully qualified name, I'll just add a using statement there. There we go. Now proxy dot, and if you see, each one of the web service methods uses this asynchronous pattern where there's an async and a completed method. So first let's fire off a handler for the completed method. And now we'll go back and we'll add some code in for actually firing off that event. So we'll call the getListItemsAsync method. And there we see the parameters like list name, view name, a query, view fields. So the list name we had was called SharePoint Sites. View name we'll just specify null. And now we need to provide something for the query, the view fields, and the query options. The way we'll do that is by using link to XML. And whenever we created the application, that type that was not referenced. So we'll add a reference to system.xml.link. And once we do that, now we can use the X element type, add in a using statement real quick. And we'll call the first one query. And we'll capitalize the element name query. We'll do the same thing for query options with capitalized query capital options. There we go. We'll create one more called view fields. And view fields will also be capitalized as well. All right, so now that we have those elements that we'll pass in, now we can pass them in the rest of the get list items async method. So we first did a list name, then the view name. Now we pass in our query, the view fields, null for the row limit, our query options element, and we don't have any, and then null for the web ID. And there we go. We've successfully called the service, so now we want to handle the return. The return is asynchronous, so that's in our handler. And now we'll use link to XML, var query equals from x and e.result, and the e.result is an x element, so then we can select its descendants. And now we want to check where the name of the element is equal to. And here we have an issue. See, the elements inside the result are bound in a namespace. So I'll use an x namespace is equal to pound row set schema. And that's the namespace that the results use. And now to call it, you simply use the namespace plus the name of the element, the local name. And that allows us to use the namespace query. And now we can simply say select attribute, and the attribute name is OWS underscore capital URL. Get the value of it, and it's that simple. Next thing is we take that query, and we'll just set that equal to the item source of our list. Now, if you remember before, we saw this error where it said that it could not locate a cross-domain policy. And what that is that there are some files that we need to add into our environment. There's a client-access-policy.xml and cross-domain.xml. And we can look at those real quick. Cross-domain, you see that I have a very lax policy. We could have something more restrictive, but just for debugging. Similar with a client-access-policy, I'm pretty much letting anything through. You don't want that in production, but for right now, for our demo, we'll use that. All right, so the way you use this is go into SharePoint Designer and open up your site, and then take your client access policy and cross domain, copy, and then go into your site and then paste. Those will show up inside your root web. There you go. And now we should have access to the client access policy and cross domain policy file. Hit F5. Prompts for my user ID password. And there we go. Now we have the data, and see that whenever we query a URL, it has the actual URL and then comma and then the URL again. So what we want to do here is pretty that up. We use the string split command, split it by the comma separator character, and then take the first element in the array, which is at index 0, hit F5 again. And now we'll see that we have just the URL. Oh, got a log in first. There we go. You see we have just the URL. And that's it. It's that simple. Add a service reference to your site. Make sure that you have the client access policy and cross-domain XML files in your site. You can add those using SharePoint Designer. Other than that, it's as simple as using link to XML to query the results. Please visit my blog at blogs.msdn.com/kaevans or watch Channel 9 for more videos in this series. And thanks again for watching.